Hi, this is your host, Lori Moylove with the Limitless Podcast, and we're starting this year with season two with an amazing guest. His name is Steve Kaplan, and he has been the entertainment's leading expert on comedy for more than 15 years and has taught comedy intensive workshops with thousands of students around the world. And you also are the co-founder and artistic director of Manhattan Punchline Theater. You are the creator of the HBO Workspace, which is cool, and also the HBO Writers Program.
Which are gone.
And also consultant and script doctor to DreamWorks, Disney, HBO, Paramount, Touchstone, and others. You come with a great wealth of background, and especially in comedy, and we're all about creativity and kind of helping inspire creatives as they go along with their journey. I was wondering if you have any like quick hacks in getting to that funny source when you're writing, maybe in comedy in that realm.
Well, yeah, whether it's comedy or anything, I think there are a couple of things that you can look for or work on. The first is dare to be dull. Now a lot of people say dare to fail, but when they're trying to fail, they're still trying to be perfect. They're still trying to be brilliant. And the thing that blocks creativity is the need to write the perfect sentence. Maybe Proust could, spend a week or two working on the perfect word for the perfect sentence, and he's okay with that. But if you're on deadline, that's going to be a problem. So it's not just dare to fail, it's dare to be dull, just because there's two parts to creativity. There's the creation, and then there's the revision. And the creation is outside of you. It's beyond you. You're just trying to channel whatever inspiration you have and then put it down, because then the other, I guess it's the left brain. Is that the one that's good on math? Then the left brain has to take a look at it and say, okay, what do I have here? What do we have here? The rational and the creative sides of me. And then what can we do to get it where both of us want it to go? So the first thing is just get it down. Dare to be dull. The vomit draft, they call it. And the second thing is fill the well, which is, you can't generate great ideas in a vacuum. There's a world out there, and there's a world of art out there. So you need to go out and experience it. You need to read. You need to watch. You need to listen. So you fill the well so that there are all these ideas bubbling inside of you that you can then bring about to work on your own work. And along with fill the well, you need to stand on the shoulders of giants. Or, as a friend of mine once said, feel free to steal. But always call it homage. Because the important thing is that a lot of stuff has been done before you. And there are people who say, well, I can't. Oh, that's been done and that's been done. But if you look at it, every great, especially in comedy, every great artist really built upon the work of previous artists. Monty Python will tell you that they were inspired by the Goon Show, which was radio comedy after the war. And SCTV and SNL were inspired by, and Bob Odenkirk and David Cross were inspired by Monty Python. So everybody's inspired by somebody and borrows and then uses it to inform their own voice. So feel free to steal. Picasso once said that good artists create, but great artists steal. And so always do that. Have a strong beginning, but don't know where the end is. Especially for writers writing narrative, either narrative comedy. I think if you're writing a murder mystery, know who done it.
Yeah,
know. And know where all the red herrings are, and know how to fool the audience. But when you're writing comedy is about people. Comedy tells the truth, and specifically, comedy tells the truth with people. And people are odd. They're idiosyncratic. They get distracted, and so, when you're writing, if you have a great beginning, a great premise, it's okay to not know how it ends up. It's okay to not know where exactly it's going to go, because as you're going through the narrative, you want to go through the narrative like your characters are going through the narrative. They don't know what's coming up, and they get distracted by what's going on around them. And that creates a lot of great comedy, as opposed to, I've got to get to point A, then point B, then point C, because that's good, you know, if you're an actuarial, you know, an accountant, but it's not great if you're trying to find the human moment, the offshot moment that neither character nor you, the writer, are expecting. So another thing that you want to do is you want to find a room with other people who are doing what you want to do. In comedy, you know, there are plenty of rooms. There's improv groups, there's stand-up comedy classes, there's classes to write sketch comedy, and then those people in those classes often go off and write their own sketch comedy. Second City, The Groundlings, Upright Citizens Brigade, those are all great rooms. So you want to find a room. And if you find yourself in a room in which you're the funniest and most talented, find another room. Because you don't want to be the funniest and the most talented, because then you're not learning. Then it's great, you're teaching other people, but then you're not learning. So you always want to be surrounded by people who are doing it slightly better than you are, so you can steal from them.
Exactly.
And you can learn from them.
So true. And I was wondering, I guess, to give some nuggets to our creatives, what are some like hacks and tools that you suggest for, you know, like you said, finding the right room, but maybe like tools help them get and tap right into that funny, I guess, tap right into the funny bone or get that joke, whether that's, you know, going out into the world or if you have any suggestions on how to get there.
Well, let's first start with tapping into your funny bone. Oftentimes, the best place to start with is yourself. My friend Steve Scrovan was one of the executive producers on Everybody Loves Raymond, and that was a room that was run by Phil Rosenthal, who's the executive producer. And what they would do is every Monday they would get together in the writer's room. And Phil would say, so what did you do this weekend? And they started talking, and those became the stories. So rather than thinking of, well, maybe somebody could run it, you know, there could be a car accident and then have somebody has to be somebody's butler, which was one of the premises of the Seinfeld when they were doing their fake sitcom within the sitcom. What they would do is they would talk about things that had happened to them, and those became the episodes. At one point, I remember there's this story that Phil Rosenthal was on vacation, his wife, and something weird happened. And his wife turned to him and said, this is not an episode. Don't put this in the series. Because everything became fodder for story. So you start with story, you start with character, and then you try to, in terms of finding the funny, rather than thinking of what's the funniest thing this person could say, what would they say? What would this character say in that situation? To use the example of Everybody Loves Raymond again, there's this great episode in which Robert, the big kindly brother of Ray Romano, played by Brad Garrett, he's a divorced guy, he finds a girl, and the episode is titled, She's the One. And he brings her to in Deborah's house, and they're having dinner, and she's charming Deborah, and she's, you know, and Ray's going, yeah, okay. And Brad's going, you know, she's the one. And they go off, and Ray's about to put dessert on the table, and he notices the girl see a fly, and she catches the fly. And Ray's going, oh, that's pretty skillful. And then she you know, she puts it in a napkin. She picks up the napkin. She looks around. She doesn't see anybody. She doesn't see Ray Singer. And she puts the fly in her mouth and she eats the fly. And Ray is kind of, he's dumbstruck. He's paralyzed, and he stays paralyzed in that position for 4.5 minutes while the sitcom's going on around him, and his parents come in and everything's going, and he doesn't move. And at one point, Brad Garrett, his brother Robert, says, "So what do you think?" And he turns around. Now, what should he say? What funny thing should he say? He turns around and he goes, "She's not the one," which is a brilliant line, because it's not the funniest thing you could say. It's exactly what he would say. And you have to be on the outlook for what character, what people would say, which, and then you put that in the mouth of a character. Because funny things happen all the time, all around us. And if you're a comedy writer, you're absorbing that, you're stealing, but only in the best way. I remember, a couple of months ago, I said to my, I've been married a long time. I said to my wife, "You know what we haven't had in a long time?" And she looks at me and she goes, "I don't know. I'm not feeling that well." I said, drumsticks, because, and if I were writing a series, I would go, that could work, because it's something that's real and it's not a joke. So in terms of tools or tricks, I think, again, the best thing to do is to borrow as much as you can from people that you know, from reality, from yourself, because there's nothing funnier than yourself. And there's nothing funnier than people trying to not be funny, which all of us are trying to do. You know, you're there, you're doing podcast, and you want to look professional, and you want to look erudite, and you want to look in charge of things. But if something, and we have this great background, and if something crashed, it would be embarrassing, right? That would be comedy.
Yeah.
The deal is that most of us are desperately trying to not look human most of the time, because we don't want to look fallible. And the truth is that we're all fallible. And the comedian is simply the courageous person who gets up in front of a large group of strangers and admits to being human. So that's number one. Just tell the truth, and start by telling the truth about yourself. And another trick would be that you want to notice, and these are from my book, which are actually The Hidden Tools of Comedy. There's a plug. One of the things that you want to pay attention to, especially in comedy, is that it's often not the funny person who's saying something funny that creates the comedy. It's often a combination of somebody who's kind of normal, kind of like us, reacting and dealing with somebody who's not normal and not kind of like us. Jerry Seinfeld and Kramer, Mork and Mindy. You can't have Mork without Mindy. You can't have Andy Griffith without Don Knotts. But together, they create comedy, The Odd Couple. So that one of the things you're always looking for is somebody who's struggling with a problem and somebody who's creating the problem, but is often, oblivious to the fact that they are a problem or there is a problem. So that's one tool. We call that straight line, wavy line. Another tool is look for metaphors. The Odd Couple is a good example. There are these two guys, one's divorced, one's getting divorced. They start to live together. They're roommates, but how do they treat each other? How do they interact? There's a scene in the play that was the start of everything, in which Oscar, the grumpy slob, comes home, and Felix meets him at the door wearing a frilly apron because he's been cooking, and Felix says, "Where were you?" Oscar says, "I don't know. I was at work." "You were at work at Hannigan's Bar? You were supposed to be here at 7. It's 8 now." So one would say, okay, they're roommates, but how are they acting? How is Felix treating Oscar as though he's the wife and Oscar's the husband? So you're always looking for opportunities to use metaphors or similes in your work. Yes, these are adults, but how are they acting? There's a scene in Seinfeld in which they're in the back of a police car and they're fighting with each other. Don't you say that? No. And you look at it and you say, oh my gosh, they're acting like kids in the back seat of a car. Because the power of a metaphor is that you're not inventing reality. You're not inventing anything. You're recollecting it. Because we all remember what it's like to be kids. We all remember what it's like, I guess, if you were an only child and you had no cousins, we're all familiar with fighting with siblings or fighting with cousins when we're kids. So by having adult men behave like that, you're having them, one, be truthful, but also be ridiculous, which is a great catalyst for comedy.
Wow. So it's just learning some of these little hacks and tools that you've kind of shared. I usually ask each of my guests to kind of share one word that correlates with creativity. What would your one word be?
My one word would be five words, which is say yes to the universe. Say yes to the universe. Dare. I mean, if you wanted to have me give you one word, it's dare. Dare. Take a risk. Say yes to the universe. Try it. People start writing scripts and then they give up, or they stop because it's not good and not brilliant, or their uncle was never the head of Paramount Pictures. Only a small percentage of scripts ever get sold or even get used as a writing sample to get hired. But 100% of scripts not written never succeed. So I would say, say yes to the universe.
Wow, that I love that you kind of breached the one word thing, but it was a perfect five word sentiment.
It's the perfect five word one word.
Yeah, five word one word. Exactly. And where can some of our Limitless listeners kind of connect with you? I know you do intensives. You also lecture at different schools and you have some amazing books. So where can they kind of connect with you to tap further into learning more tools for creativity and also comedy?
Well, we're offering two online courses starting in February of 2023. And you can find out all about that, plus my books, The Hidden Tools of Comedy, and my second book, The Comic Hero's Journey. There it is.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Which is about story structure for comedy films. You can find that at KaplanComedy.com. Kaplan, awesome. My name. Steve Kaplan, comedy.com. You can also follow me on Twitter until I migrate to a better social network. I'm at SK Comedy on Twitter. You can follow me at Steve Kaplan's Comedy Intensive on Facebook, and I'm somewhere on Instagram.
And I know that on your website, they can our listeners can send you a nice heartfelt message as well, correct?
Yes. Yes. You can sign up for the mailing list. You can ask me questions about comedy on the website. You can buy my books. You can register for the courses. And we also do script consultations. So there are all sorts of different packages. You can a package for a pilot or a feature film, or just if you want to go over an idea, you can have 1 hour packages where we can just kind of talk and dissect and investigate a premise you have and what would that premise best be developed as. Mm-hmm.
That's so great. And so everyone go tap in, check out Steve Kaplan's website and also send him a heartfelt message if you did enjoy this episode, and go dig into some of his books and always listen to the universe as Steve Kaplan
say,
says.
Say yes to the universe.
Say yes to the universe.
And say yes to Steve Kaplan, I think, because I'm part of the universe.
We're all limitless here and just keep being creative. So thanks so much, Steve.
Thanks. Bye.